I remember selling a car once. Everything was okay with the car except the muffler. I had broken the bracket on it. So I kind of went under there and tied it up. And so I was telling about the car. Great car. And the Lord was saying to me, So I finally relented. So I said, hey, listen, there is one little thing you need to know, and that is the muffler bracket broke, and I kind of just held it up temporarily. And he said, oh, no problem. My brother owns a muffler shop, so I'll put a bracket on it. Said, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. You hear a lot these days about how to dress for success. If you want to make just the right impression, you have to pay careful attention to what you wear. Well, I bet you didn't know that it all begins with the belt. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us how we should prepare ourselves for the day, how we should dress for success. Here he is with a message entitled, How to Dress as a Citizen of Heaven.
Let's take out our notes as we continue in our series called Citizens and Sojourners. Citizens and Sojourners, as we talk about how we are to dress on this spinning earth where two kingdoms intersect, and how we can stay protected from the wiles of someone who is called our adversary, whose committed goal is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And it's not something that's just fictitious. Before I share that, though, a couple weeks ago, I gave a couple of Portuguese jokes, and this guy came in and said, hey, I don't like your Portuguese jokes. And I said, there are no Portuguese jokes. They're all true stories. He said, well, that's not funny. That's not funny. I said, well, you know. And he said, you can't talk about Rosses, just, you know, like loose stitching and stuff like that. And I said, hey, you know, no, like no big deal, just a joke. Well, I want you to know how it helped Rosses, because I got a letter this week. Listen to this from a member in our congregation. It goes like this. Dear Pastor Wayne, I rushed out to go to my Bible study group at the Ala Moana Zippies, and by mistake, I forgot my belt. Well, while driving to my office, I decided to just buy another belt. But I remembered this past Sunday's sermon, and I drove to Ross's instead. I purchased a $125 Ralph Lauren polo belt for $19.99. Wow, and the stitching is of good quality. I thanked God for your wife, Anna, and I thought I should let you know that my first visit to Ross's was a very worthwhile trip that saved me over $100. And he added both the price tags in the letter to show me proof. Huh? What do you think about that? So don't mess with me. Well, let's talk about how to dress for success here. You know, just recently, we were embroiled in a controversy where our troops overseas were not equipped well for the war at hand. They had antiquated equipment, obsolete weapons, and they didn't have enough, for they were indeed under-resourced. When the United States said, we've got to make sure that we equip these soldiers with everything they need in order to win this war. And I thought, if we're that sure about our troops, and albeit should be, how much more should we be thinking about us here on this earth, where there is an adversary of our soul that's coming to steal and to kill and destroy. And if he can't destroy you, he will dilute you. He will dupe you. He will break your heart and keep you sidelined and disqualified, caged, categorized, compartmentalized till you go home. That's just as good, because he's committed. In fact, the book of Peter says this, for we must keep our guard up, our armor up. For your adversary, the devil, goes about like a prowling lion, seeking those whom he may devour. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to destroy your future so that you don't represent the Lord well. That's his whole thing. Because you see, when he was thrown out to this earth, he is the ruler of this world down here. Now, the kingdom of God sharing the same earth is a huge threat to him. And he is the ruler of this. And so he doesn't want any competition. And he's going to go after, especially those who represent the King of Kings. So we must understand that we are in a real war. George Barna, who does some excellent studies, he's a pollster. He polled many, many Christians, and he asked them this question. Is the devil real, or is it just like a symbol, a token of evil found in mankind? 48% of Christians, now Christians, said he is simply just a token for evil, and he's not really real. I thought, whoa, that makes hell really happy. Because if he can get us to think that he's fictitious, then he's got us by the nose and he's about ready to strike. Let me tell you one thing about the prowling lions or like a sniper. There's one quality that they have, and that's they're very patient and they wait. Prowling lions are known to just wait and still for up to an hour, waiting for that antelope to move as he stalks them quietly. And just until that thing turns around, thinking everything is fine, and turns his back, bang, that's when he strikes. And so the devil is looking for what the Bible calls an opportune moment. Now, can we stand against the devil? On our own? No. No, the Bible says you can't do it. Well, what do you mean? Yeah, unless you put this armor on each day and you understand it, you will not be able to stand against the devil. I don't care who you are. Let me tell you three people that you'll agree with me that are pretty powerful people. The first, his name was Solomon. He was known as the wisest man on the face of the earth, very affluent, everything that he wanted. He was so rich, though wise and rich. It was the cunning and the subtlety of the enemy that caused him at the end of his life to follow the ways of many foreign wives, where he abandoned his own faith and began to worship false idols in his home. And you think, wait a minute, you're supposed to be the wisest guy. Let me tell you another. This guy was strong. Nobody could stand against him. Powerful. A fearsome foe. But because of the cunning of the devil, this man succumbed to the persistent prodding of a woman named Delilah. And Samson gave up his birthright, as it were. His whole assignment crashed. Are you stronger than Samson? Are you wiser than Solomon? More affluent than he? Let me tell you a third. This man was known for his wholehearted devotion to God. In fact, the whole book of Psalms, you'll find in there poem after poem about his heart for God. Yet because of the subtlety and the cunning of the adversary, he was tempted by lust, moved into adultery, and that wasn't the end of it. It caused him to be a murderer, and then he covered it up. Are you better than those three? I don't think so. And yet they figured they could do it, and they were nailed. That's why God is saying, we as God's people, doesn't matter how strong you think you are, how wise, how affluent, doesn't matter. God is saying the devil is going to go after it, and you better understand how to put on the armor of God. Now, we're going to talk about that and how to suit up. Now, before we read the scripture there out of Ephesians, we'll work right through Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read it to you, the same scripture now. Let me read it to you in the Message version. It's a little different version. And see how the devil will come in. Now, when the devil comes at you, he doesn't come with a frontal attack. He doesn't come with showing up with a red suit and a pitchfork and a forked tail on Halloween. Oh, no, no, no. He'll meander. He'll meander through the side doors, and he'll use tactics such as discouragement, depression, stress, overburdenedness, busyness. And then on the heels of that, he'll come with temptation and lust and all kinds of things that will cause us to finally fall and be destroyed. He's very, very subtle. Now, how do you deal with them? Well, Ephesians is going to tell us how to. But let me tell you a story. I was in Sri Lanka a few years ago, and I did a pastor's conference, and after the pastor's conference, we were heading back to our hotel. And in the van, there were about six pastors, and we came around the corner into this remote village, and there we saw on the side of the road a man tied to a tree by his feet, and about four people with sticks were hitting him as he lay on the ground. And I said, hey, we better stop this van and help that guy. What's wrong with him? And one of the Sri Lankan pastors who was with me said, we better just leave him alone. And I said, what? They're beating that guy to death. And he said, well, that man is demon possessed. I said, demon possessed? He said, that's right. So I said, that's how you deal with it when the devil shows up? You beat him with sticks? That's kind of archaic. I said, does that work? He said, not really, but it makes him quiet for a while. I said, well, I guess so. It'd make me quiet. I said, but that's obsolete. When the devil shows up, you beat him with sticks. Isn't that kind of archaic? And then he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, well, to you, it might seem archaic. When the devil shows up, we beat him with sticks. But in your country, when the devil shows up, you pass laws to protect him. And you let him in. In our country, we beat him with sticks. Now tell me, which country is more obsolete? And then I shut up. You see, the devil is very cunning. And he comes in through the side doors. And if we are not watchful, and if our guard isn't up, he will strike. Listen to what the message says. And then we're going to read the very same scripture out of Ephesians in the New American Standard. It goes like this. Finally, remember that God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything our master has set out for us, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you'll be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. Now, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from in a couple of hours and forget. This one is for keeps. It is a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. We'll talk about spiritual warfare, and you'll need to understand the seriousness of that so that you can move with freedom. But if you lose this, he will nail you. So let's read at the top of our notes together what we're going to be talking about out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, would you write in your notes? The devil is real, but we are not ignorant of his schemes. So stand firm. There's an authority that God gives to us as citizens. And the problem is not that you don't have authority. The problem is we don't use our authority. You abdicate it. You put it on the shelf and he'll nail you. So what are we to do? Let's read what Ephesians 6:13 says. Go. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Listen, there is an evil day that comes when the devil sees that you've dropped your guard. And sometimes that guard is dropped very slowly, very discreetly, over a period of months. But as soon as he sees it to a certain point, it's called an evil day or an opportune moment. Bang, he strikes. So he says, make sure, Peter says, keep up your guard, for the devil is a prowling lion. Well, how do we stay protected against that so that there is a resilience against what he throws at us? Well, God says, I'm going to give you 6 pieces of armor, but these aren't just to strap on and take off. This is something that becomes a part of who you are. Now, he calls it 6 pieces of armor so that we can sort of with our human brains understand. And he uses the analogy of a Roman centurion. Now, maybe that he was chained to one for a while, and he can kind of see how the guy's dressed. And so he uses that as an analogy. But really what he's saying, this stuff has to become a part of who we are. It doesn't come on and off. It's who we are, and you keep it that way. So what are these? What are these 6 pieces of armor? Let's read about it, and then we'll talk about them. The verse, Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. Go. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the... And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Let's take a look at these. The first, it says here, having girded your loins with truth, or they call it a belt of truth. Let me tell you a little bit about, in Roman times, what a belt was. In our day, the belt kind of goes over everything. Now, they had some Roman belts, of course, that would hang the sword, etc. But their main belt was not over everything. Their main belt was under everything. Because you see, in the Roman days, their sort of underwear was like a long nightshirt. And they would put a sash of fabric or like a rope around this one-size-fits-all underwear. And so it's like when you go to buy your underwear in those days, you go to like Rome Ross's or whatever, I don't know. You buy one-size-fits-all bibs. And then you put this thing on. Then you put this belt around you and you pull it up so that it gets to your height. And then it kind of rolls over. Then you can put your other stuff over. Well, that was like it is. And some would tie it up in between so it's a little shorter or bring it up even yet more. So that belt was to keep this thing from falling down and tripping you up. So the belt was very necessary. And then over that, everything else would be put. Now, what the Bible is saying is that God has given us a belt of truth that should be under everything you do, under all your activities, under all your decisions, under all your endeavors, under all your events, under all your plans. There needs to be a cinching of a truth that is based on truth, not deception, not what people want you to do, not fear of people, a sense of truth. I cannot tell you how much assurance that gives you when you know that under all your endeavors and everything you do is a sense of truth. And it's all right. And you can stand before God and there's a sense of truth about it. And so that has to be the belt that you tie on. Now the devil will want to loosen that and get rid of it, but don't you dare let him. What is the belt of truth? Would you write it under number one? The belt of truth is our underlying motives. Our underlying motives. It's a sense of integrity. That everything that you do is based on a sense of sheer, genuine, unmitigated, unpretentious integrity. In fact, it describes in the book of Psalms 15... a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And listen to what it says. Let's read it together. Go. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his where? Would you underline those words? That underlying everything is a sense of truth. I remember selling a car once and everything was okay with the car except the muffler. I had broken the bracket on it. I think I hit something underneath and it broke it so the muffler was hanging. So I kind of went under there and tied it up. And then so I'm selling this car and I'm thinking, I shouldn't say anything about the muffler because a guy might not buy it. And so I was telling about the car. Great car. And the Lord was saying to me, So I finally relented because it was, you know how it is on the inside, you know something's not right. So I said, hey, listen, there is one little thing you need to know, and that is the muffler bracket broke, and I kind of just held it up temporarily. But other than that, it's okay. But that thing is, if it breaks, it goes bong, bong on the street. So you got to, you know, know that. And he said, oh, no problem. My brother owns a muffler shop, so I'll put a bracket on it. I said, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But I cannot tell you how good it feels to be able to have truth underneath it all. Isn't that right? Does that mean you won't miss stuff? No, you'll miss a few things. But in the integrity of your heart, you will make those mistakes. You know, when they found this or that, oh, I'm so sorry. But in the integrity of my heart, I did not hide those. I may have, through ignorance, missed it or whatever. But in the integrity of my heart, I speak truth on the inside. That's the most important. And that's called a belt of truth. That under everything that you do, there's a sense of truth and rightness. I was talking to a guy in our church, and he said, I left this car dealership. And I said, why? They make good cars there. I said, well, see, the boss was asking me to use a little bit of deception. Oh, not blatant deception, but just withhold truth, because that gets the customers in. And when I say this about the manager, the service manager, and I got to check with and all of that, it's all set already. But he wanted me to do that to get the people in on the deal a little bit more. And I just couldn't keep doing it. Something, he said, in my guts was saying it wasn't right. And I had to leave. And I said, good for you. Because in the end, you're not going to stand before God to find out how many cars you sold. It's going to be, how well did you represent the King of Truth? And that belt of truth has to be under everything that we have. In a relationship, you might be in a relationship, and there's something on the inside that you say, it's not in the light. I couldn't expose that to the light. Something that you're doing or plans that you're making, it's not there. And the Lord is saying, don't give up the belt of truth, because that is the most important. Over everything else, it might look nice, but if you don't have the belt on, you may look good for a while, but when you start running and things get tough, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to get tripped up by your bibs is what you're going to do. Everything's going to fall out and it's going to show. And so God is saying here, one of the things that's important in the soldier's armor is the belt of truth.
Because of your love, because of your grace, because of your mercy, we are yours. Because you are good.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled How to Dress as a Citizen of Heaven by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you part two on tomorrow's broadcast. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the Life Journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until this same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord. God bless you and aloha.